Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, in my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every god I do.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Beth Dominick. We're continuing our discussion of organics and what it all means. Beth is the owner of Sacred Grounds Organic Coffee located in Arcata, but she's also an inspector for CCOF, which is California Certified Organic Farmers. And what I'd like to do is ask you about some of the places that you've inspected and what's it like on a typical inspection.
Sure. I do a lot of livestock inspections, and there aren't that many inspectors that do livestock inspections, so it tends to get me traveling a little bit more. I did a dairy in Petaluma. I was in Wyoming doing some dairy inspections there, and I was in beautiful Mendocino visiting the one organic dairy in Mendocino. I think it's the only dairy that's left in Mendocino.
And what's interesting too is I think people hear California certified organic farmers, they think that all of the farmers you're going to see are in California, but really they're not. This is a USDA inspection.
Mm-hmm. CCOF has clients in all 50 states as well as in Canada and Mexico. But, you know, any location that wants to be certified for USDA standards has to have an on-site visit from an organic inspector, a trained inspector. So, yep, I think I've been Virginia, Pennsylvania, Nebraska, Wyoming, a lot in California, Oregon.
We're glad to have you here today in
Arcata. It's good to be home, yeah.
So when you go out to a farm, do you have like a history of what might be some of the issues there that you need to check on and kind of a list of things to look at?
Mm-hmm. So the heart of the organic program is the organic system plan. So anyone that wants to be organic has to fill out this plan, make an agreement with their certifier, and that gets signed off by their certifier. Yes, if you do everything it says in your plan, then we agree that you're meeting the regulations and we'll certify you as organic. So the inspector's job is just to be the eyes and ears on the ground and verify that what they say they're doing in the plan is what's really happening. And the good rule of thumb for an organic producer is if it's not written down, it didn't happen. So they might have everything in their head. Well, we know, you know, how much we harvested, and I know what day I put the compost out, and that's fantastic, but it really needs to be written down at every step of the way. So we start out with a little bit of background about their farm. You know, in order for the land to be eligible, there has to be 3 years of clear land history, no prohibited chemicals applied to their land. And then we look at the seeds that were used. The regulations require use of organic seed unless you've documented that you cannot find organic in the quality and quantity that you want. So that's a little more homework that people are having to do to say, well, I really wanted this particular variety of lettuce. I couldn't find it in organic form. The one I found was actually pelletized. It had a clay coating on it. So then the inspector would look at, you know, what was the coating on that seed and is that okay for organic use? Organic seeds cannot have any irradiation. They can't be genetically modified, and if they're treated or coated in some way, it has to be with an approved substance. And if it's an edible sprout, then those seeds do have to be organic. And then we look at general fertility. So what are they doing to build their soil? Are they, you know, using any compost? Are they using animal manure? If so, especially in the case of manure, is there a post-harvest interval that has to be 90 days if it's a crop that's above the ground, or 120 days if it's a crop that is contacting the soil. So just to make sure that if there's any E. coli or something in that animal manure, that there's enough time goes by between the time that it was applied and the time that it's harvested. We look at their pest management, what they're doing to prevent any pest problems on their farm. Are they having to use any materials for pest control? And if so, what are they? And then we look at harvest. Is the equipment that they're using dedicated to organic use, or is it shared equipment with their neighbor that might be non-organic? If that's the case, are there records that all of the equipment that they're using has been cleaned and that all has to be documented? And then we look at any labels that they would use. Are they making the correct claims, the certified organic phrase and the proper placement? It even gets to, is the typeface the correct size? Is the USDA logo the correct color? And then we look at record keeping, and that can take a lot of time to go through all of those records. And so it's not too often that we would have a request to do residue testing, but that will be an increased focus this year that the USDA has asked certifiers to look more closely at residue testing, which would require taking 2 pounds of product and testing for chemical fertilizers and pesticides. And so that's kind of a real general overview for a crop producer. At the end of the inspection, the inspector is required to do an exit interview where they would note any issues of concern to the producer so that there, in theory, aren't any surprises that they're saying before we go, you know, I know that this product that you used, this fish fertilizer, for example, because it's over 4% nitrogen, it's no longer allowed for use. So, you know, that's going to be a problem you're going to need to address once you hear about that from your certifier, because again, the inspector is not the one that's making any decisions. They're just reporting back to the certifier about what they found. So depending on the nature of that violation, the land might be required to be pulled out of organic certification for 3 years, or they might have to come up with some sort of plan B to address that situation. And you know, we've seen that sometimes with treated lumber. You're not allowed to use copper, chromate, arsenate treated lumber in organic production, but people like to use it around here because it makes a stronger fence post or a stronger corral. So if that's the case, you know, well, now you have to put hot wire fencing up, you know, 30 feet out from that post so that your animals can't graze there, or you have to put, you know, a cedar facing or something so they can't chew on that fence post.
How long does it take for you to do one of these inspections?
It really depends on how well prepared the operator is. You know, I'll go some places and they're so well prepared and everything's laid out very beautifully, so it's kind of refreshing to go through their paperwork with them. Uh-huh. Or you go to another farm and everything's just in a paper grocery
shoe box.
Yeah, in a shoebox. We dump it out and so we sort through and here's, you know, the seed receipts, here's the fertilizer receipts, and here's my harvest records. So it really depends. I would say something kind of straightforward, maybe, you know, hour and a half or 2 hours. A very long livestock inspection is definitely an 8-hour day. Okay. Some of the bigger dairy farms, it could be 2 to 5 days.
Wow. Now, when some of the people that I've talked to that are farmers locally who are not certified organic, you know, I think a lot of people say, well, it's just a lot of time and it's a lot of extra money. What does it really cost to become certified organic, or does it vary depending on the size of your operation?
It does vary. You know, there's 100 different certifying agents that people can choose to work with. So I'm, you know, only familiar with kind of a handful what their prices are. I think it's probably about $1,000 the first year to get started, and that's going to include an application fee that's probably $250 to $300, and then an annual fee, which sometimes it's based on your sales, sometimes that's based on how much land area you have. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually an inspection bill. So that's for how much time did the inspector have to spend on site with you. So there's a financial incentive for them
to get yourself organized.
To be well prepared. And how long does it take the inspector to complete their report? One thing that's nice is that the state of California is doing a cost share program that will reimburse farmers up to 75% of their inspection costs. But so it's still, you know, it's an investment, but more than cost is the investment in time. And the last thing a lot of farmers want to do is, you know, spend a good 2 hours filling out their paperwork at the end of the day.
Okay. So one of the things that I hear from people who are thinking about buying organic food is, you know, kind of like, where do you start? Is it an all or nothing thing? Should I be buying all organic, or should I just give up and buy all conventional? Or, you know, is there something in between? And I've heard some very interesting things from people, like if it's a high fat food, buy organic because that's where they store the pesticides and you've got to be concerned about consuming that. If it's something your kids eat all the time, that's what you should buy organic. Or some people, you know, look at the charts of pesticide residue and say, oh, peaches, they're the number one on the pesticide residue. And look at celery, it's number three, you know. So those are the things I should buy organic. Are there any recommendations you would give to somebody who's maybe wanting to take a step into buying organic, but perhaps isn't going to buy all organic produce?
Sure. I think it's really important to ask a lot of questions about your food and not necessarily just look at a sticker or a label on it and let the questions stop there, especially because locally we have so many great food producers and they have, you know, personal reasons for not wanting to be organic. I'm a big supporter of organic and buy organic whenever I can, but I think you're right that fruits with thin skins are one area to look at and look for organic with those because there's not a good barrier to prevent pesticides from coming in. Same with watermelon or foods with a high water content, that those are really going to uptake a lot of the chemicals that would be used in their production. But, you know, if you're walking around at the farmer's market, ask the farmer what their production practices are. You know, we do have some folks that it's more important for them to buy local than to buy organic. So I think whatever speaks to you personally. You know, for us, it's dairy. I really want to support all the wonderful organic dairies that are here. And I think for the health of my family, you know, avoiding a lot of the hormones that are in milk is one focus that we have, to buy a lot of organic dairy.
Well, that's great. And I've learned a lot about organic produce and CCOF today. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been speaking with Beth Dominick. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and every kind of do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.